Welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. I'm Jessica Salerno, Senior Content Manager at OSCPA, and this is the show for CPAs and accountants, where we cover the latest in technology, business development, career management, and more. In this episode, I spoke with Richard Carwick about what it means to be a tactical CFO. He's a management consultant with more than 40 years of financial and managerial experience and more than 15 years of experience as CFO for businesses in a variety of industries. We talked about what CFOs struggle with, what it actually means to be tactical, how to increase efficiency in teams, and much more. And later in the episode, we'll hear from Kyle Bickhart, CPA and Chief Operating Officer at OSCPA. Kyle started here as CFO and has an inside perspective on why being a tactical CFO is so critical. And before we get started, know that you can hear more from Richard at the Strategic Finance and Accounting Summit on March 24th. And for podcast listeners, we're offering a very special discount for registration. You can use the code TACTICALCFO, all one word, for $35 off the conference price. Again, that's TACTICALCFO, all one word. Click the link in our show notes to register. Here's what Richard had to say.
Over the last decade, I've seen the CFO role become more and more of a partner. As a matter of fact, it's probably even happened over the last 15, 20 years, but it's intensified over the last decade, where the CFO has become more of a partner to the CEO and the president strategically, but tactically also to the chief operating officer and all the other functional and department heads. The CFO is the person that is the go-to guy or gal that's going to translate that partnership with the CEO, the strategy, and bring it to the how are we going to do this? How are we going to look at it? How are we going to accomplish these tasks at the operational level? Because it's one thing to say, I have a strategy in my business and the board agrees with me and I'm the CEO and I would like to grow the business double in the next 3 years. You've got to set up milestones. You've got to set up targets and objectives. And the CFO seems to be the person, the guy or gal, that's going to lead on that establishment of goals and objectives. Of course, that gets complicated for the CFO because they still have all the technical day-to-day tasks they have to concern themselves with. And in small and mid-sized companies, often the CFO does not have a controller to take care of those. So they have to be strategic, they have to be tactical, they have to be operational all at the same time. And in the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of risk management start to get in the equation because there's always something or somebody out there that's going to put you at risk in executing your strategy or implementing the tactics and the objectives that are going to get you to the milestones. So they've kind of been forced into this risk management mode also, but we want to work at 20,000 feet, not at ground level. And again, part of that now becomes, forecasting, planning, looking forward instead of just dealing with the day-to-day fires has become critically more important for the CFO. From the folks I've met over the years and from my own personal experience over the last 10 years.
And you mentioned things like not having a controller and dealing with risk. What things are you seeing or hearing CFOs struggle the most with?
The speed of how fast everything's happening. And a lot of that has to do with technology. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little later in the discussion here. Everything is happening so quickly. Technology is moving so fast. It's one thing if you're the CFO and you identify that I see some risk that might interfere with achieving our objectives and having our tactics work out. But it used to be years and years ago, things moved at a more relaxed pace. We had to wait 3 days to get mail in between operating locations that were spread apart in different states. Now it's, you didn't answer my email. I sent it to you 20 minutes ago. What's the matter? So trying to manage risk, trying to manage change, I find CFOs are struggling with that. And quite frankly, as the role has expanded and now they are a partner to the CEO strategically and to the rest of the organization tactically, they've got a lot of bosses. I don't envy the CFO today. Depending on the organization structure, they're reporting to the CEO, they're reporting to the board, they're reporting to the regulators. And quite frankly, when you're a partner to people, it's a mutual boss support relationship with the rest of the operating people in the organization. So that has to become a challenge for them. And not only is everything happening faster, think about the volume of data and information available that the CFO and their support staff and their colleagues have to sort through on a day-to-day basis. What's really important? They've got to be able to figure that out. In the meantime, they're getting bombarded from all sorts of directions, again, from all the people they have to collaborate with.
And this next question is somewhat related to those struggles. So what are some of the mistakes that you see CFOs make?
Well, one of the things that jumped to my mind kind of ties into what I mentioned earlier, that the CFOs have to be more forward-thinking and plan out further ahead in terms of what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. And yet, oftentimes, because we have so many bosses, and for public companies, that includes Wall Street, we've been forced into short-term thinking. And the CFO is worried about, we've got to hit the numbers this month, we've got to hit the numbers this quarter, earnings per share is what matters right now. And sometimes it's the classic cliche about it's pretty hard to see the forest when you're stuck in the trees. So short-term thinking seems to be one of the mistakes I'm seeing. And those CFOs that find themselves swamped and are trapped in their office are missing a heck of a great opportunity. They're in a silo, and yet the more effective CFOs I have met and the more effective I've been in some of my own positions have been when I got out of the office, a little bit of what they call management by walking around, see the operating people, see the folks in the front line, talk to folks in their backyard and not just by telephone and by email. And I see many CFOs still think that the work's going to come to them, and that's not the way it works. They've got to forget about the fact that they have these technical accounting skills and realize the fact that the money is being made, the money is being spent, not in the accounting department, but elsewhere. Accounting 101, most CFOs on their first day were told the purpose of accounting is to record and report on the transactions and activities of the rest of the organization. So the accounting department isn't making the money. Why is the CFO sitting in the office? That's not where it's happening. So that's one of the biggest mistakes I see, along with the short-term thinking that kind of gets in the way there. And sometimes, the CFOs can get too comfortable with the fact that, okay, this is how everything went today, and this is how everything went last week and last month, and they assume going forward that's how it's going to work going forward. Well, in the world of weather forecasting, since CFOs have to do forecasting for businesses and organizations, I read a statistic once somewhere that said, if you predict tomorrow's weather is going to be the same as today, you will be right 2/3 of the time. Well, the trouble with that is how long can a CFO sustain themselves within the business, and how long can a business sustain itself if it keeps thinking that, oh, yeah, tomorrow is going to be the same as today. So the CFOs, again, that forward thinking is necessary, and I see many of them that are still trapped into short-term thinking.
And this is something that you've mentioned a couple times in your answers so far, Richard, is being tactical. So what does it mean to be a tactical CFO?
A tactical CFO is the person that is going to get the job done, that understands that connection between strategy and implementation of strategy. It doesn't matter how many articles I read, how many CFOs I personally meet, everybody's got a different opinion as to whether or not faulty strategy or faulty execution is the big enemy in making things happen and keeping a business viable for the long run. Let's assume it's a little bit of both. And therefore, what I think is very critical is to develop a management style and a leadership style where the CFO can drive the plan, drive to the objectives, provide that vision for the entire organization. I'd like to think a really good CFO can explain to a sixth grader what the mission of their organization is and what the values and principles are and what the critical success factor is going to be to make it happen. And then, of course, from a tactical point of view, have the plan, all the projects, in place that will execute and make it happen. They've got to be goal-oriented, and they've got to communicate that to people. That would be a critical piece to that. So they're no longer the leader of the finance function. A tactical CFO is a leader through all the areas of the organization.
I love that perspective of being able to describe the organization's mission and goals to a sixth grader. Is that because, like you mentioned, being able to not see the forest over the trees, having that kind of mindset?
It's having that kind of vision and that clarity of vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spoken to people and met people, CFOs, and said, well, what does your organization do? I'm not familiar with that. I'm from out of town. And after they've spent, you know, a minute and a half explaining it to me, I still don't know what their organization does. They've got to be really good at communication skills. One of my colleagues in the seminar industry, he tries to fit into every seminar he writes something about CFOs being better at communicating the vision. It's one thing if you understand it. But you have to have the clarity to make sure the folks that are going to help you execute the plans understand where you're taking the company and why. You know, so oftentimes, and I see this happen more so in large companies where folks are kind of limited in how much time they can spend outside their own area of responsibility. But oftentimes you run into folks where they understand their piece of the puzzle, but they never see the full puzzle. Good CFO, no matter what size the organization, has to have that clarity of vision and be able to share that.
And earlier, when you mentioned efficiency, how can CFOs increase the efficiency in their teams?
In their own team, they can become the non-technical driver behind technology. There are organizations that are still paying their bills by check. As I recently saw a statistic that said 54%. We have something now called wire transfer, ACH, automated clearinghouse. It's a form of wire transfer. It costs pennies instead of the paper, the envelopes, the stamps, and the manual labor to do this, plus printing the checks. The CFO has to be the leader in applying technology to taking away the routine tasks. We shouldn't have accounting departments and finance functions with armies of clerks anymore. And I see that that's part of the change we've had in the last 10 years, but it's been slow coming. ACH has been around. Gee, I swear, I got my first wire transfer ACH type of paycheck 35 years ago. It's been around that long, but we've been so slow in saying, hey, I can do this for bill paying. I can put this into payables. I can collect my money that way from my customers and clients and encourage them to pay me that way. So the best thing the CFO can do in terms of the efficiency is take advantage of technology and think like an outsider in your own accounting department once in a while. Ask the folks that are reporting to you and the folks that you are supporting, why are we doing this task and why are we doing it this way? Every once in a while, when I come into a place with a new set of eyes and I want to learn about their business, I say, why do you do this? Well, because we've always done it. Really? You know, how do you use this information? Oh, I don't know. I just pass it along to somebody else. Those questions have to have good answers to them or stop doing it. I was at one place once we were drowning and making reports. So we stopped publishing all reports and waited to see who was going to ask for their reports. You can save a lot of time not publishing reports by stopping publishing reports that people aren't using. You know? So the CFO can increase efficiency with that. And of course, set example. You know, provide direction is a good way to do that. I think of rowing, the sport of rowing in a crew. You've got the coxswain telling everybody the tempo, the stroke, getting everybody to move together at the same time. Obviously, you're going to apply that in the accounting department itself, and you should help apply it in the whole industry. And once you get everybody in tempo, moving in the same at the same time, you've got a good CFO function working for you. The great CFO is going to figure out how to actually have them facing the objective. If you picture how those crews do their work, the rowers are always got their back to the objective, and the leader is pointing them toward it. I think a great CFO has everybody going in the same direction, very efficient strokes, no wasted energy. And again, the example I mentioned earlier about, why are we still paying by check? So we have to learn to be the leader in using technology to take away all those routine tasks so we can manage by exception.
What would you say that they need to know for the future to continue to hopefully be ahead of the pace of change and to really be doing the best they can for their organizations?
I'll take a cliche for my lead on this discussion here. Think outside of the box. Again, it goes back to not spending your life in your office. The action is happening outside the office. So think outside of the box, especially long term. Have an attitude and approach your career, not just your job, but your career, with an idea of learning. And it doesn't have to be formal learning. Yes, I know that most CFOs are CPAs or MBAs, so we're talking advanced training to get to those credentials. But certainly ask a lot of questions. Keep that same curiosity you had as a child when you first started school, or as a novice when you took on your first job and had a lot of questions for everybody. Some of the best leaders I've seen at meetings don't give direction. They don't give orders. As a matter of fact, they don't do much in terms of speaking and providing insight. They ask the right questions, they learn, and in the process of answering the questions, their colleagues end up developing a course of action and a plan. And it really helps in terms of wanting to be agile for as an organization and effective. The other thing I learned that will help a CFO be successful and help drive their organization being effective is to help everyone succeed. Oftentimes we get caught in our own little silo and we've got all these things to do and all these bosses to satisfy. And, you know, I was like that too. And many folks have met, you know, you get out in the world, you first start working and I got to do a good job. I have to succeed. And then you have the responsibility for a finance or accounting department and you want your department to succeed. And it doesn't end there. You want the whole organization to succeed. So getting involved in the whole organization, asking questions, understanding how all the pieces fit will make the CFO far more effective at implementing the tactics, because I've already said they have to understand strategy. Well, it doesn't do any good to understand strategy and not know how to make it happen. You know, and the other thing they can do is, if you want to be agile, you can't do it all by yourself. Even in a small and mid-sized company, invest in your staff, invest in your people, invest in the rest of the people in the organization. Many organizations have, tuition reimbursement programs. Many organizations have in-house training programs. I know I used to be probably a nuisance to my staff. Anytime I heard about a seminar that was taking place that would help one of my staff members be better or more effective at their job, I would say, hey, how about you blow a day off and go to this particular seminar, go to this particular class. I knew that that was the formula for success and to be better at your job. And the other thing that I always like to mention in any seminar I lead, and I'll include it in this discussion, is to listen. Sometimes we ask questions and we've already got a preconceived idea what the answer is going to be. Sometimes we don't ask a question, but listen to the world around you. Listen to the folks in the rest of the organization. That's why getting out of your office helps. You can learn a lot in meetings, but some meetings become routine. They become repetitive and we stop thinking, we stop listening, and probably justifiably so. But the constant idea of looking to listen and being open to new ideas is going to take you a long way.
Kyle Bickhart is the Chief Operating Officer at OSCPA, but he originally started as CFO when he joined the staff a few years ago. He too shares Richard's belief that to be an effective CFO, you have to get out of the office and listen to people. And he has insight to share on short and long-term goals, balancing the past and present strategy, and much more.
What does being a tactical CFO mean to you?
So really, it's about putting a pathway to execute a strategy. So, you know, I think a lot of organizations have done a great job of, they can put together the fancy PowerPoint presentation, I like to call it, of, okay, here's the nice PowerPoint, it goes to the board, everyone nods their heads, but how do you execute it? And so it can't just be a presentation. It's really about, okay, now what are the tactics to actually execute it? Is it short term? Is it long term? I think that's an important part of really understanding the tactical.
And it's funny that you say that, because that was another question I wanted to ask. How do those tactics change when something is short term versus long term? Is there just like a blanket rule that you can kind of apply to that, or is it more specific?
No, so I love this question. I think that there's not enough times that we put short-term versus long-term in front of tactical, mm-hmm. or even tasks for that matter, is, so I would like to use the example, okay, so probably designing your kitchen of the house is more exciting than maybe building the foundation of the house, but if the foundation isn't built, you can't talk about a kitchen.
Right, right.
And so I think there's times that individuals, organizations get a little excited about what's short-term versus long-term. You know, even from a strategy standpoint, is this something that we can achieve in 5 years or 6 months? And I'd say we probably, even at this organization, at times have trouble with that of, mm-hmm. is this something we can accomplish in 6 months? Or what are the short-term tactics to get done in 6 months to then make it to a more of a longer-term tactic in 3 years? And so we're currently now working on a three-year plan here at OSCPA, and really, how do we lay out that plan? And then as we plan the budget and kind of what our tasks and tactics are for this first year, how do we make sure that, okay, well, we need to be able to do those before we can do year two? So I think what a lot of organizations get wrapped up in is they get very excited about what's coming for the next year, mm-hmm. when 2016 still aren't done.
Right. And something I've noticed, you are always in the office in different departments. I always see you talking to a lot of different people. How do tactics play into that when different departments have different goals, but obviously the organization as a whole is trying to achieve these specific strategic goals? How do you figure out how to navigate those and align them so everyone's kind of on the same path?
Yeah, so to lead finance or be a CFO, you can't sit in your office. You have to hear the needs and the wants of the organization. And so very easy, you know, so there's certain departments that are more revenue generating, other ones that are non-revenue generating, as we'll call them, but I feel are supported by the revenue that is generated.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sales piece is very easy, right? So if an organization has a sales plan, right, okay, what are the tactics to either maintain that or increase it? Maybe it's something that you're moving down, you're moving in different products, but everyone cares about customer awareness or customer engagement. And so the organization has those goals in totality, but by department, you're going to have different tactics, right? So let's say finance needs to put reporting together for the sales team to make sure that they are going after the right area. What was their past purchasing behavior and whatnot? Also, from a marketing standpoint, how does marketing have reports that sees, okay, here's where, this is what a customer behaves as. How do you identify other customers that might look like them? Mm-hmm. And then that helps the sales team kind of figure out. So they all have different tactics, but they ultimately need to are all kind of working together to deliver on one goal. So it's so important to kind of get out of your office and go talk to others to make sure, how are you making sure everything is cohesive to deliver that ultimate plan?
If someone was in the new CFO role, that sounds like, to me, sort of overwhelming to be able to talk to all of these different departments, responsibility of that role. But what advice would you have for someone who's like, that is a lot to keep track of?
That's fair. It's one thing. Listen.
Mm. Mm.
Until you listen, you have to listen before you can act. And so when I first came here, we had, you know, someone that was kind of helping us of like what strategy and whatnot. And I just sat and listened.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not always easy for me to do, be candid, but really just listening, okay, what are the challenges or what things do we feel that we're doing well? And even though my opinion might be different than that, it's just good to hear other people's perspective, because it's very easy for me in my role to come in and kind of change the narrative or make the narrative. How do you listen to what the narrative actually is or mm-hmm. how it's being received and be like, okay, I don't see it that way, but I can see from your perspective where that is the way you see it. And so I think that was one of the best things that happened to me when I came here is that, you know, at first I don't know everything. I still don't know everything. And I never will know everything. But mm-hmm. I think it's really important to listen and then also think about the cross-functional teams as well, right? Is that a challenge of one department and be like, oh, well, it's this department's fault. And then vice versa, be like, oh, well, there's just a lack of communication or a mm-hmm. breakdown there. Or, oh, gosh, if we get this piece of software, or do we just get these teams together? It's really difficult. The great thing that finance gets is that we get to be at all the tables.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the advantage of really being able to be in lots of conversations of that someone else might have missed and kind of putting those pieces of the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm. And even that seems tactical in its approach, you know, like the approach of listening and then also the cohesion when understanding that all of these departments have to work together as a whole. It's not like we can all be in silos.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think that it's... I think tasks and tactical sometimes are synonyms, but mm-hmm. I don't think they can be, is that there's a lot of individuals, including myself, you know, there's certain tasks that we do. But it's like, do I have to do those? Yes, there's certain compliance things we all have to do, and maybe that's not the most exciting, but yes, we have to do those. But why are we doing it? I'm like, find your best in your, you know, five-year-old, or, you know, it's called the five whys kind of philosophy of mm-hmm. ask five whys until, can they really answer why we're doing it? Or is it the inevitable, well, that's what we've always done. Okay, well, now we've established that. Do we have to? You know, if we stop doing this, would a customer know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's to say if we did stop doing it? Or is there a better way to do it? Or is there a more efficient way to do it? You know, is there a way to automate it so that we have time to do all the new things? Like, we all want to try to do new stuff, but we also find comfort in the things that we've always done.
Right.
And so how do you find those balances of not constant disruption where no one ever feels comfortable, because that's not the greatest situation, but there is a part of getting out of the comfort zone to make sure that we are moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And in your answer and in a couple of things that you've said, you talk a lot about kind of understanding the past while also obviously being tactical and strategic about the future. Why is having that tactical mindset so valuable when you're thinking of both of those things together?
Again, if you don't have a plan, right, it's like you're not going to go on vacation. Well, I guess you could go on a vacation. It's like, we'll see where we, you know,
right.
We're going to drive to California with no Google Maps or whatnot, or no Waze. You could do that, but you do need to generally, that's kind of going back to, you need to have a strategy. Like, what are you even trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And then really, like, what are the tactics to do that? Now, they can be agile, right? Your strategy can change, and the tactics to basically accomplish that strategy can also change. But you have to have a roadmap of kind of what you want to do. And then as you learn through the process, right, there might be other barriers that either you can control or can't control. And then how do you kind of maneuver through that? So. Mm-hmm. That answers your question.
Yeah, definitely. And when you talk about having a roadmap, what would you say to someone who says that they do their best to maybe follow that, but they have to put out fires, things come up, just the day-to-day, long-term things that you can't expect, you don't predict? How do you stay on target on that roadmap?
Oh, fire drills, my favorite. Right, fire drills in general are not avoidable in totality, but a lot of times it's really looking at process of, what process can I put in place, or changes in the process, or having a process can help eliminate those fire drills. And so I always joke, if you know, have a burning forest, right, and shouldn't joke with everything happening, you know, with poor Australia, but it's that, how do you cut a chunk out of the forest? And sometimes if the trees are on fire, they just have to burn, but how do you make sure there's not more that burn?
Mm.
And so what do you do from a planful standpoint of, if you're just constantly in that fire drill mentality, you can never get out. So what part do you just have to let burn, or just go, or stop?
Right.
Cut that chunk out, and so when those burn out, you have a brand new, nice green forest that you can maintain and have a fruitful mm-hmm. situation. And so I really challenge us, if I'm constantly having fire drills, of like, what can I do differently? What can then I work with another department, person, to help change that, right? So if something's like, all right, this is really busy season, how do I make sure next year's busy season doesn't perform the same?
Mm-hmm.
And what are maybe some little things? So again, it goes back to short-term and long-term, right? Be like, right. It's all going to be perfect tomorrow. It's not. But what are some of the smaller, short-term things we can do to build on to have a better long-term success?
Mm-hmm. And I think from what I'm hearing from your answers is that it's also really important to be able to pivot and to recognize maybe even those smaller changes.
Correct.
Like you mentioned, not everything's going to be perfect, like the approach to the fire drills, but if you can make it better in the long term and build on that, then you really have something.
Agreed. You have to be able to pivot, and you also have to feel empowered to change. Mm-hmm. If you feel that if you have no empowerment to change something, well, one, that'd be super frustrating, but everyone can contribute in some level, right? It's like, I get C-suite might have more perceived power than maybe a staff person, but a staff person is making major decisions every day of how that organization runs.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the, you know, the foot soldier, so to speak, of the organization. Without having a great working staff, you can't have a great organization. And so if your people do not feel empowered to make decisions, or feel they have to ask for every little thing, it's going to be very unsuccessful.
Right. And You started at OSCPA as CFO, but now you're COO.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, how does that experience as a CFO kind of translate into other roles and prepare you for this one?
So kind of similar, right? So I first came in with more of a finance background, right? So that's what a lot of my roles at other companies were. But I did have the opportunity at other companies to not always be in kind of technical accounting finance roles. And so that somewhat helped, but also coming here of, again, you're at the table for so many parts of the organization. If you can put together tactics of how to execute something, you're pretty dangerous.
Mm.
And so you really can then, you know, you see a lot of CFOs that are able to do that and pivot, that they start to be like maybe a COO, or they're the organizational lead from an operational standpoint, or maybe even CEO. It's about if you can put tactics together to ultimately execute a strategy, you become very dangerous and you can do a lot of things in an organization.
Thank you to Richard and Kyle for joining us to talk more about what it means to be a tactical CFO. Remember, if you're interested in hearing more from Richard, you can register for our Strategic Accounting and Finance Summit on March 24th and use the code TACTICALCFO, all one word, for $35 off the registration price. The link for the registration is in the show notes. Please rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're using to listen, and let me know what you thought of the episode by contacting me at jsalerno, J-S-A-L-E-R-N-O, at ohiocpa.com. And as always, thanks for listening.